told to fear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I want to welcome you to a wonderful Wednesday. We pray that you are planning on having a grand and glorious week. We're going to continue moving forward today with our study on things that belong to God. And I can tell you, this list could go on for a long, long time. I just kind of picked some highlights out there that may be beneficial to people. And so right now we're in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We've been talking about that the tithe is holy and it belongs to the Lord. And while you're turning to that passage, let me just say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And Bill Andriak there, he operates in the central Brevard County area. And if you have any air conditioning catastrophes, or, well, let me tell you, if your house is hot and you don't like it hot, That is a catastrophe. And so you need somebody to come out and take a look at your unit. With the elements that we live in, our air conditioners have a pretty stiff demand placed on them. I was hearing about the heat wave in California a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about how stifling hot it was, and their temperature was what we normally, their crazy hot temperature is what we normally have during this time of year. And, you know, our ACs are working round the clock to keep us cool. And sometimes they just need a little TLC, and the folks at Creative AC Solutions can show them that TLC, whether it's, you know, a part that needs to be replaced, something that needs to be cleaned, an electrical connection that is not making good contact. It could be a wide array of issues, but whatever it is, they can find the problem, solve the problem, and get you back up and running as quickly as possible. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. And you can arrange a time. And like I tell people, if your AC is working fine now, but you don't have an air conditioning person that you normally have that comes out and works on your system, write that number down, because sooner or later you're going to need their services. 321-759-3284. That's Creative AC Solutions. So we have been talking about that the tithe belongs to God. It's His. It's holy. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to misappropriate it. We don't want to be accused by God of robbing Him. And we'll talk just a little bit about some of the arguments that people have against tithing after we get through with Malachi chapter 3 here. But I can tell you from my reading of scriptures, tithing was something that was birthed in the heart of Abram when God showed him mercy in his rescue of Lot. And it predates the law. It was done by faith. And I believe it's not an old covenant, new covenant issue. I believe it is an eternal issue, and we need to get that right. We need to be found faithful with that which belongs to another man. That's what the New Testament says. If you are not faithful in what belongs to another, who will entrust you with true riches of your own? So Every time that offering plate comes by, it is very clear from Jesus' teaching on the widow with the two mites that she put into the offering, and how Jesus not only noticed what she gave, but noticed what everyone else had given, and noticed out of what they had given. They had given out of their surplus, out of their abundance, and he said she gave out of all that she had. So Jesus really is observant of what goes on. And so if you're just tossing in some ones as the offering plate goes by, thinking that, well, it'll make it look like you're doing something, I want you to understand you're not there to impress men. You're there to to worship Jesus. And he does take note of that. But today I want to focus on the why. You know, besides the fact that it's holy, besides the fact that it belongs to him, the why, you know, that you don't want to violate that principle that it's a holy thing that belongs to the Lord. In verse number 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Okay, so there are positive and negative benefits to the body of Christ as for why we need to honor the Lord in this area of giving to the Lord his tithes. The first one is it is a prerequisite. It compels a reaction from heaven that whenever we bring all the tithes into the storehouse, God says, that's going to cause me to open the windows of heaven for you. Okay. And so many times we are the ones that are responsible, due to our lack of obedience to the word, for the challenges that we face in our own life. That's not a good thing. It's not something that we want to be making our life more difficult. We want to make our life more reasonable, more acceptable, more comfortable. And so you have to understand this from an agrarian type mindset, an agricultural mindset, because this economic, or this economy that we're talking about in Malachi, it was a farmer mindset where you sow seed that when it rains, it has an impact upon the crop, the seed that has been sown, and causes it to come back bountiful. Now, you don't sow one grain in order to get one grain back. That's not the way that it goes. You know, I tried growing some potatoes one time. I was unsuccessful because what happened was I kept getting almost a one for one. You know, I'd plant one that had gone bad, and I would get one, and it's like, well, that didn't work out too well. So we need God's favor to bless the work of our hands. What has happened, there has been some serious atmospheric change throughout our world. A lot of places where they didn't depend upon God's continual outpouring of blessing said, well, what we're going to do is we're just going to divert water from this large body of water over here, and we're going to use that to produce our crops. But guess what? If there's not enough water that is coming in to that lake, that sea, that reservoir, then you're constantly depleting. You're operating at a negative flow of water, And it's not going to be long until that water source dries up. You can see that in the Dead Sea region. You can see that in parts of Western or Eastern Europe, where they've come along and they've literally caused lakes to and seas to completely dry up, where boats used to navigate. Now the water level has receded to such a great extent that you can almost walk across it because it's almost gone. We need God to pour open the windows of heaven. So here a couple of weeks ago, it was on a Tuesday. All of a sudden, the heavens just opened up, and about that time, my wife texted me and said, "Hey, I need you to go and get some ice." We were having a celebration that night, and I said, "Okay, I can do it, but I can't do it right now." And I posted on Facebook, "Somebody send the ark. Somebody send the ark." It was coming down in a serious flow. One of the things that we have done at Merit Assembly of God is because of the topography of our plot of land, we have water that likes to gather in a certain area of the property. And so we have done a lot of water diversion to try and get it away from that area. And you know what happens? The more water that we get to flow away, the harder it rains. And so we are praying for that in a spiritual sense as well. Say, God, just open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So it has that agrarian mindset. You can realize that whatever your blessing is that you need, God's going to pour out that sort of blessing. So he says, pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So I read in the scriptures where when Moses was getting ready to build a tabernacle, that the people started bringing, originally there was a leadership offering that was done. Leaders lead, and so they pioneered in this area of giving. But then the people started giving. Remember, these were slaves when they came out of Egypt, but God blessed them with the bounty of Egypt. The Egyptians were saying, "Here, take what we've got. Just leave our land. We don't want to die because we are holding you back." And so they ended up bringing, and they had to compel the people to stop giving because they had given so much. They had given more than enough to accomplish the task at hand. So very, very rarely have I ever seen that take place where there is such extravagant giving that the people said, "Look, we don't need any more giving. Here's the thing." God said that he would pour out a blessing that we would not have room enough to contain it. If you think of that, how many banks are there in America? And you say, "Well, I don't know. I don't either. But I tell you what, I'd like to have the maximum amount of money in each one of those banks for it to be FDIC insured, and you know, say, hey, God, you know, let's see how much capacity we've got." The thing that we have challenged Merit Assembly of God with is no matter how much we give to missions, we still believe that there is capability for more. And here is the thing. Whenever we have given more to missions and honored God with our tithe, the more that the general fund goes up. It is not something that depletes our finances. It is something that enhances our finances. So that is the positive. Okay? If there are economic problems, it is either an income problem or it is an outflow problem. So there is either insufficient income or there is excessive expenses. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, some of the financial problems that I had early on in life wasn't because my expenses were so high. It was that my income was so low. My first ministry position, I brought home $86 a week. Okay, think about what you could do as an adult with $86 a week. The next year, I got a raise briefly for where I was bringing home $100 a week. And, you know, this was a time where America's economy was doing very, very well. It was beginning to really, really hum along there. And I'm at the bottom of the income status. There's problems there. So it was during this season of my life where tithing became something that I was much more passionate about. And so I really, really learned a great deal. So verse number 11 shows what the opposite side. God says, I'm going to take care of the income, but now I'm also going to take care of the outflow or the expense. And he says, I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So he says, I'm going to make sure that you have plenty of income, but I'm also going to make sure that you don't have the losses that you have incurred before. Because when you've planted a seed and there is the blessings from heaven upon it and it begins to produce a bountiful crop, well, we, you know, in school, I was taught about the law of supply and demand. And whenever the supply would go up, you know, people or individuals, creatures that required that supply, that their population was. And so in school, they said if in parts of the Arctic, whenever the rabbit population goes up, it precedes an increase in the wolf population or the coyote population, because they would eat a lot of those rabbits. And whenever there were not that many rabbits, then the population of the wolves or the coyotes would go down as well. So there is where there is ample food, there is someone that comes along to consume that food. Well, that's what is being referred to here as the devourer, where grasshoppers and caterpillars and other insects, birds would come along and they would destroy the crop. And so God says, when you honor me with the tithe that belongs to me, I am not only going to make sure that your income, the fruitfulness, you get the 10, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold return on what you've sown or planted, but I'm going to make sure that you don't get the invasion of insects that would come along and destroy your crop. So I remember when I was in school that the cotton was known as king cotton in the South, and there was something that really impaired I think it was the boll weevil, the harvest of cotton. And so American cotton really was impacted negatively for quite a while. Well, at that point in time, there was a bumper crop of cotton in the Egypt region of the world. And so it became, they prospered a great deal. They built the Suez Canal with the funds that came out of that. And then once things returned to normal, they had spent all of the money that had come in. And then they had, I believe they had to sell the Suez Canal or something, but they had a boom and bust type mindset. What God is saying here is when you honor me with my tithe and your offering and you bring it into the storehouse, I'm going to make sure there is an abundance, and I'm going to make sure that it is not consumed by someone, that it's going to cause you financial hardship. So God is the Lord over nature. If there's one thing that the disciples did not really understand when they first started walking with Jesus, was the extent of Jesus' sovereignty. Until they're crossing over the sea, and a storm comes up that threatens to destroy them, and Jesus stands up in the midst of the storm, speaks to that storm, calms it down, and gets them to the other side. And they said, wow, his authority extends even over nature, the wind, the waves, and the sea. Well, guess what? God's authority over his children extends to their finances as well. We've got to be found to be faithful stewards. We have to have faith and we have to have wisdom. We have to have blessing. And I will say this, we also need the Lord's rebuke. Now, I will tell you that I have been rebuked by people that I did not deserve to be rebuked by people. I've also been rebuked when I deserve to be rebuked. But I will tell you this, when God rebukes, it is never misplaced, it is never mistimed, it is never over-exaggerated or anything like that. And on a couple of occasions, the scripture says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And when God rebukes you, you are rebuked and you are not going to be suffering the harm that others would do to you because God has rebuked those individuals on your behalf. So his rebuke will cause the prosperity, the abundant harvest to prevail, whether it is sown in the ground, whether it is something that comes from the vine or something that grows on the tree. So it doesn't matter if it's your job or your investments or your interest. God's going to make sure that he watches over you. Now, I will tell you, you've got to be very careful walking this line. You never want to step over into presumption. You always want to make sure that you are operating in faith. Okay? If you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, it's not going to work well for you. Trust me, I tried it. It didn't work. Okay? Verse number 12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Okay? All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So, because of the favor with the income and the favor with the expenses, the children of Israel experienced this when they came out of Egypt because their sandals didn't wear out, their grocery bill never went up, their water was supplied by a rock that was following them around in the wilderness. You can see that in the New Testament, which was a sign of Christ, a type of a word picture of Christ. He is our supply, but he also makes sure that the expenses are very, very minimal. So you could have tremendous income, but if your expenses are out of control, your bottom line is never going to get any better. You need God's favor in your income, and you need his rebuke on your expenses. But people take notice. Okay, people take notice wherever God's blessing is. And all of a sudden, instead of viewing you as insignificant, instead of viewing you as kind of a nuisance or maybe a tolerated existence, but they don't really want to have anything to do with you, all of a sudden they're going to look and say, wow, you're blessed. You're blessed. And we're not here to get their stamp of approval on our finances. We want God's stamp of approval. But God wants them to know him as Lord and Savior as well. So he says, and you will be a delightful land. Listen, with everything that is going on in the world, there are so many people agitated by a multitude of things, a plethora of things, and many of them are just agitated because they lost. They didn't, you know, trust me, not everybody I vote for wins. In fact, my record in the last election, it was, wow, shocking. I didn't know I could be wrong so much, but, anyway, people begin to take notice whenever the chaos and everything that they're experiencing. And then all of a sudden they look over at you and you're filled with the joy of the Lord. You've got the peace of God. You've got the favor of God operating in your life. And they start looking at you and say, what makes you so different? See, I always prayed for my company that I worked for, that they would prosper, especially at the location that I was working at, so that people would say, what's going on over there? Well, we're not doing this just out of our own natural strength. We are doing it with the blessing of heaven. So just a little bit, I'm going to go down chapter 3 here real quick. In verse number 1, it says, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And let's go on down here. And verse number 5 says, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And you drop down to verse number 7, return to me, I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And then you come down here, and God says in verse number 10, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. And then you come to verse 11, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. In verse number 12, all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. In verse number 13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. And then you come down and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts in verse number 17. What I want you to see is we need God speaking, and God's opinion is not just opinion. God's declaration is fact. You want him speaking over you. You want him rebuking the devourer for your sake. You want him blessing you, coming in and going out. We need to hear what God has to say. It's not just his opinion. Chapter 4, verse number 1 talks about, says the Lord of hosts. Let's let God be God. Let's honor his word and watch him as he turns our daily circumstances around for his glory. I don't know about you, but I really want the thing with the tithing that I want most is for the nations, the people groups around us to call us blessed. For we will be a delightful land. You have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank
right
you
here
for
on
tuning
Refresh.
In today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Shout and dance and lift up our hands. overflow my cup.